right, kids, come on up. And I'm going to read a story. But first, I'll ask some questions. Oh, let me get a mic. Guys, have a good Christmas?
Yes.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I won't ask if you got everything you want. I mean, who could ever get everything they want? Did anyone get everything they wanted?
No.
No, see.
Yeah.
I'll talk to your parents later about that problem.
Kindle Fire.
Oh, you're special. Actually, kind of turn. Well, actually, this is good because when I tell the story, we'll put pictures up there. Now you can either look at the book or look up front. So we'll have pictures for you guys too. And before we get started, you know, we probably just need the adults to kind of understand a couple things about Christmas, right? So let's start with a couple questions now. And who is? Raise your hand. But who is Jesus? Let's start with that. Who can answer that question? Cora. Jesus is God. Okay, good. Tracking okay? You okay so far? All right, I think they're getting it. Okay, now, but why did Jesus come?
To save us from Satan.
Why did we need saving? Why do we need to be saved from Satan?
Because we were Sin. Gone astray?
Because we're like sheep that gone astray?
Right.
Dude, you know your Bible really well. That's great. Callie?
Because we would die from Satan, because he's evil.
He is evil.
And he has special power.
Yeah, what kind of powers does he have?
Evil.
Just evil powers, right? Yeah, what kind of bad stuff can Satan do? Any idea? Anyone? What? Can he? He does bad stuff, evil stuff, right? Yeah.
He could kill us.
He could kill us, but. Not if God stops him, right? And God does. God keeps him from doing his worst evil stuff. So why did, okay, so I think they're tracking, but let's go a little deeper in this question. Why did he come as a baby? I mean, here is Jesus, Son of God, up in heaven, and then he came to us as a baby. Any idea on that one?
Gora? Everyone turns into a baby.
Because we all start life as a baby?
Yeah.
So why was that important for Jesus to start as a baby, do you think?
So he was just, I don't know.
Anyone else? Why did Jesus decide to come as a baby? He could have came as an adult. He could have just gone, ta-da, here I am, king of the universe, worship me. But he didn't. He came as a baby. What do you think? He was born by an ordinary couple. Are your parents an ordinary couple?
Yeah.
Do you ever think they're kind of strange, though?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do they do strange things?
Yeah.
I won't ask what it is, but. Okay. Well, I think you guys are kind of getting the idea that Jesus could have showed up anyway. He could have showed up with an army because he is a king and he has a huge army in heaven. And he could have showed up with angels and swords. But did angels come when Jesus was born?
Yeah.
Do you remember what they said?
There's a savior being born.
Yeah, in a manger. That's kind of like a manger, which is basically a feeding trough, right? And they put fresh hay in it. So that he wouldn't, get cow food all over him. But he came because he wanted you to know he knows what it's like to be a kid. And so he was a kid. And so he did all the stuff kids do, minus the stealing cookies and lying to mom about it. But he played games and he got tempted to get in a fist fight with a big bully at school and think, but he didn't. He obeyed God perfectly and he became a teen, an adult. And so he gets us. He knows what it's like to be us. So that's kind of encouraging, isn't it? All right. Well, here's one other question I got for you. So last week, you weren't in here, but I told all your parents about the three wise, well, we don't know if it was three, but the wise men that came to visit Jesus. And when they came to visit him and he was just real little, they came to give him gifts. Do you know what kind of gifts they gave him?
Peyton?
They gave him frankincense and myrrh and gold.
Oh, gold I get. What's frankincense?
It's a spray that makes you smell
what is it?
It's a spray that makes you smell good.
So they gave him something so he'd smell good. You know, that's pretty good because frankincense is a nice scent that they put in things, and they even put it in incense too. And so they gave Jesus basically their most important gifts they had with them. Now, let me ask you guys. I mean, Christmas, you know, we kind of think about what we're getting from God, but if you could give God your bestest present, what would you give Jesus, the Son of God? Kelly?
Love.
Love? Oh, good answer. What else would you give him? What's the best thing you could give him?
Hope.
Hope? Man. Love, hope. So, yeah?
Faith.
Faith? You wouldn't give him any of your presents? You give him your electric scooter? How come? Does he need to get somewhere? Or you just think he'd have fun?
I think he'd have fun. Yeah.
I would give him my Kindle.
The one you just got, you would give him? Oh, you guys are awesome.
I'll give my specialist bunny.
Your specialist bunny? Which one's that?
The one that I got when I was a baby.
You'd give Jesus that? I think that would make him so happy. Wow, you guys are just great. Well, you want to hear a story about how some kids had to decide what they were going to give Jesus as a gift? Well, actually not Jesus. I'm messing up the story. Better I just read it for you. So this is called The Children of the King, and it's written by Max Lucado. And so he loves writing. And I, for some reason, had never read the story until Jill bought me this book this year. And so it's a really cool story, and I want to share it with you, okay? And so you ready? Want to hear a story about a king and about some kids who needed to try and give this king a gift? You want to hear that? Okay. Well, it starts off a long time ago. In a land much like your own, there was a village, and in the village lived five orphans, a lonely family of fatherless children. They had banded together against the cold. In other words, they didn't have any parents. We don't know why, but that would be sad, wouldn't it? Yeah. One day, the king learned of their misfortune and decided to adopt them. He announced that he would be their father and would come for them soon. When the children learned that they had a new father and their father was the king and that the king was coming to visit, they went wild with excitement. Would you go wild? Yeah, I mean, look at them. They're kind of like jumping around and laughing. That's pretty wild. When the people of the village learned that the children had a father and their father was the king and the king was coming to the village, they were excited as well. They went out to see the children and told them what to do.
You need to impress the king, they explained. Only those with great gifts to give will be allowed to live in the castle.
The people didn't know the king. They just thought that all kings like to be impressed. So the children began preparing gifts to offer the king. They worked long and hard to be sure the king would approve. See, they wanted to give gifts too. One of the children knew how to carve, and he decided to give the king a wonderful work of wooden art. He set his knife against the soft bark of the elm and whittled. The small blocks of wood came alive with the eyes of a sparrow or the nose of a horse. His sister decided to present the king with a painting that captured the beauty of the heavens, a painting worthy to hang in his castle. Another sister chose music as her way to impress the king. For long hours, she practiced with her voice and mandolin. Village people would stop at her window and listen as her music took wings and soared.
Yet another child set out to turn the king's head with his wisdom. Late hours would find his candle lit and his books open. Geography, math, chemistry. The breadth of his study was matched only by the depth of his desire. Surely a king would appreciate all his knowledge. But there was one sister who had nothing to offer. Her hand was clumsy with the knife, her fingers stiff with the brush, and when the little girl opened her mouth to sing, the sound was hoarse. She wasn't much of a reader. She believed she had no talent, and so she believed she had no gift. All she had to offer was her heart, for her heart was good. She spent her time at the city gates, watching the people come and go. She would earn pennies to buy food for her brothers and sisters by grooming people's horses or feeding their animals. She was a simple stable girl, but she was good at heart. She knew the beggars by name. She took time to pet each dog. She welcomed home the travelers and greeted the strangers. "How was your journey?" she would ask. "Tell me what you learned on your visit. How is your husband? Do you enjoy your new work?" She was full of questions for people because her heart was big and she cared about people. They were all the same to her, the beggars and the rich. She cared for all of them just the way they were. But since the little girl thought she had no talent and no gift, she was afraid that the king would be disappointed. She remembered the villagers' advice and set her mind to the task of making a gift for the king. She took a small knife and went to her brother, the carver. "Could you teach me to carve?" she asked. "Sorry," the young craftsman responded without looking up. "I've much work to do, no time for you. The king is coming, you know." The girl put away her knife and picked up a brush. She went to her sister, the artist. She found her on a hill painting a sunset on canvas. "You paint so beautifully," the girl, who had no gift but a big heart, said. "I know," the painter answered. "Could you share your gift with me?" "Not now," the sister responded with eyes on her palette. "The king is coming, you know." The girl with no gift then remembered her other sister, the one with the song. "She will help me," she said. She arrived at her sister's house. She found a crowd of people waiting to listen to her sister sing. "Sister," she called. "Sister, I've come to listen and learn." But her sister couldn't hear. The noise of the applause was too loud. With a heavy heart, the girl turned and walked away. And then she remembered her other brother. She took a book with small words and big letters and went to see him. "I have nothing to offer the king," she said. "Could you teach me to read so I might show him my wisdom?" The young sage-to-be didn't speak. He was lost in thought. The child with no gift spoke again. "Could you help me? I have no time." "Go away," said the scholar, scarcely moving his eyes from the text. "Can't you see? I'm preparing myself for the coming of the king." So the girl went away sadly. She had nothing to give. She turned to her place at the city gates and took up her task of caring for people's animals. After some days, a man in merchant's clothes came to the small town. "Can you feed my donkey?" he asked the girl. The orphan jumped to her feet and looked into the brown face of the man who had traveled far. His skin was leathery from the sun, and his eyes were deep. His kind smile warmed the girl's heart. "That I can," she answered eagerly, leading the animal to the trough. Trust him to me. When you return, he will be groomed and fed." "Tell me," he asked as the donkey drank. "Have you come to stay?" Or she asked, "Have you come to stay?" "For only a while, and I'm looking for someone,"
Are you weary from your journey? That I am. Would you like to sit and rest? The girl motioned to a bench near the wall. The tall man sat on the bench, leaned against the wall, closed his eyes, and slept. After a few minutes, he awoke and found the girl sitting at his feet, watching his face. She was embarrassed that he had caught her staring. She turned away. Have you been sitting here long? Yes. What do you seek? Nothing. You seem to be a kind man with a peaceful heart. It's good to be near you. The man smiled and stroked his beard. You are a wise girl, he said. When I return, we will visit more. Well, the man did return quite soon. Did you find the ones you were seeking? The girl asked. I found them, but they were too busy for me. What do you mean? The first one I came to see was a woodsmith rushing to complete a project. He told me to return tomorrow. Another was an artist. I saw her sitting on the hillside, but the people below said she didn't want to be disturbed. The other was a musician. I sat with the others and listened to her music. When I asked to talk with her, she said she had no time. The other I sought had left. He has moved to the city to go to school. The girl's eyes widened as she realized who the man was. But you don't look like a king, she gasped. I try not to, he explained. Being a king can be lonely. People act strangely around me. They ask for favors. They try to impress me. They bring me all their complaints. But isn't that what a king is for? Asked the girl. Certainly, responded the king. But there are times when I just want to be with my people. There's times I want to talk to my people, to hear about their day, to laugh a bit, to cry some. There are times when I just want to be their father. Is that why you adopted the children? That's why. Adults think they have to impress me. Children don't. They just want to talk to me. They know that I love them just the way they are. But my brothers and sisters were too busy? They were. But I'll come back. Maybe they'll have more time another day. The girl hesitated. Sir, what about me? I have no gift, but I would like to be your child. The king smiled. My dear, you gave the best gift of all. You gave your heart, your kindness, your time, your love. Of course you'll be my child. I love you just the way you are. And so it happened that the children with many talents but no time missed the visit of the king. While the girl, whose only gift was the gift of her heart, became the child of the king. It's the end of the story. You like that story?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a neat story. And you know, that story really is about our God in heaven, and it's about Jesus. And Matt, did you know Jesus? I said he was a king, but maybe one of you could help me read from Matthew chapter 21, verse 5. I think we could put it up there. Peyton, would you read that for us? So just read right up there.
Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.
Okay, hold on a second. See, so kids, Jesus, just like that man in the story, came on a donkey, didn't he? And Jesus shows up as king on a donkey, but not everybody recognized him. And now, Peyton, can you read John chapter 1, verses 10 through 12?
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God.
awesome. And thank you. Jesus came as a king, but you know what? We're kind of like those children in the story. Even the adults are like the children in the story in that we're all spiritual orphans. Did you know that? We all have parents, but spiritually we're born as orphans and we need Jesus to come and adopt us so we can be children of his Father in heaven. And we can kind of see that idea. Cora, would you like to read for us next?
Sure.
Okay. We can see this and also in John 14. First, read verse 18.
I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.
That's awesome. Thank you. So Jesus came so that we wouldn't be left as orphans. That's one of the reasons he was born, so that we could be adopted if we receive him. And what's that mean to receive Jesus? I mean, that's kind of an odd idea. Any idea what it means to receive Jesus? What do you have to do to receive him? Cora?
Believe in him.
Believe in him.
You can get baptized.
Get baptized. And you know what's the simplest place to start? Pray. And just say, Jesus, I want to receive you as my king, as my savior, and I want to be a daughter or a son of God. And so from the story that we read and what we're hearing, can we impress God? You know, can you impress him with your gifts? Tell me the very best thing that you're at. What's the best thing you're good at? Who wants to start? We'll start with the, okay, Cora. What's the best thing you're good at?
Spirit?
Well, no, like your talents. Like if you're, you know, what's something you're good at school or good at home in?
I'm good at piano.
Piano?
Abby? Coloring.
You're good at coloring?
Art.
Art? What are you good at? Sammy? What good talents? What about the camping trip? What did you do there that was really cool?
Karate.
They seem to know the answer for you. What are you good at?
I don't know.
Not sure? Trying to think? Do you know what you're good at?
No.
No? What's he good at?
He's kind of good at gymnastics.
Oh, gymnastics. I can tell. He looks like he's all flexible and bendable. Cora?
Softball.
Softball. See, these are all the things you guys are good at. Now, let's think of it this way. I mean, God gave you guys those talents, right? But compared to God, is that very impressive? I mean, dudes, he made the whole universe. He could probably hit a baseball all the way around the world. He could paint the most beautiful. He has painted the most beautiful. There's nothing we can do that's going to impress him. But he likes it. But what does impress our Father in heaven?
Loving him.
Loving him. All the stuff you guys were saying, that's, matter of fact, do we remember what the king said in the story? He says, my dear, you gave the best gift of all. You gave your heart, your kindness, your time, your love. Of course you'll be my child. I love you just the way you are. So, someone tell me, what does it mean to be kind? Because he said we would love him, but it means also to be, how was she kind? What did she do for this king? Do you remember? Remember when he showed up and with the donkey? What'd she do?
She fed the donkey.
Fed a donkey. Did you ever think you could impress God by feeding a donkey? That's crazy talk, right? But it's true. What else can we do to show our kindness?
We can tell other people about God.
We can tell other people about God. What else can we do to impress him? What did she do when he slept?
Sat by him.
He loves it when we just spend time with him. He likes that. It's kind of like crawling up on your mom or dad's lap and just sitting there just because you like doing it. And sometimes as adults, we get so busy, we kind of forget that our Father in heaven still looks at us as children
And he just likes it when we sit with him. So, we are all children of God, and sometimes children worry too much about impressing the king. Do you know why? Because we think of him first as a king instead of a father. He is a king, but first he's a father to us. So, a Christmas gift I received when I was about your age, I was probably like 10 or 12, something like that. My dad gave me this little figurine, and actually I found a picture of it online. It was under vintage, and it's now kind of worth a lot. I wish I'd not thrown it away when I was a kid, which is not a good sign of who I am. I think we have that up there. I love you this much figure. And so my dad gave me that for Christmas. And see, right up there? It's like a little father with his nightshirt on and a big round belly, and he's saying, I love you this much. And so my father gave that to me, my sister, just each one of us to say he loves us this much. And do you know, God loves you and me that much. And who would like to read John 3:16? Okay, Cora? Oh, you have it memorized. Here, go for it.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, whoever believes in him should not perish and have eternal life.
Right. And so God says, I love you. And Jesus, I love you this much. And actually, one of the ways we know God loves us that much, I'm going to give you guys a gift. And just, it's like God comes to us in heaven and he says, here's a piece of straw. And I love you this much. And I love you. And I love you. And I love you. God says, Cora, I love you. He says, I love you. And he says to you, I love you. Anyone have one? So he says he loves us this much because he was born in a stable just to show us he loves us. And then Jesus spread out his hands and he said, I love you this much. And then they put spikes in his hands and a spike in his feet, and he died for all that bad, naughty stuff we do because he goes, I love you this much. Now, what I want you to understand is that God greatly, regardless of what gifts you have, it doesn't matter if you have any talents or not. Matter of fact, I don't think my daughter, Selena, can play the flute, and my son this morning was playing the drums, and I can't do any of that. And if I tried to sing, I'd probably sound like that donkey. You know, they don't give me a mic to sing. And so I could look at that going, man, I just don't have anything to give God. But he's saying, I love you this much. And it's not what gifts you give me. It can't change any of that. So God loves me, even though I go, man, I can't do gymnastics. I'm a lousy painter. And God's still going, I love you this much. So how much does God love you guys? Show me. How much do you think he loves you? This much? He loves you that much?
More than this.
Even more than, how's that possible? With more people, but when God spreads out his hands, how far do they go?
It's like around the whole world.
Around the whole world. I know. It's crazy. So he just loves us that much. Now, in this story, we're kind of learning how he greatly loves us regardless of how many gifts we have. But if I was to flip that around, I wonder what you'd say how much you feel he loves you by the kind of gifts he gives you. So I just gave you a straw, right? And now we're all kind of like, he loves me this much. But if I come along and I see if I can grab something out of here. Thought it was in here. So, Sammy, how much do I love you?
This much.
Okay. But I give her a cookie, if I give Kaylin a Christmas cookie and not you, now how much do I love you? What do you think now? Just this much? You think I only love you this much now? Okay, I can, because I gave her a cookie and not you, right?
Yeah.
it kind of feels like I love her more. Yeah? Well, who else wants a cookie? You want a cookie? But you know, I'm going to give her a cookie. Now, how much do I love you? This much, a little more. I love you a little bit more than Sammy, but still not as much as you were saying earlier, right? Here's the thing. In that story, did the king love the little girl's brothers and sisters more?
No.
No. Even though it seemed like they had these amazing gifts, he loved them just the same, right? How much did he love that little girl? This much. He loved her brothers and sisters that much too. God's love for you guys and for them does not change by what gifts he gives someone else. He loves them all the same. All right, I'm going to give you all a cookie because I do love you all the same. And then you can go sit down with your parents. You want a cookie? Here, I'll let you pick. Sam? I do love you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. You're welcome. All right. Can I have a Christmas gift? Can I have a big hug before you guys sit down? Oh, I love you. Some of you are wearing frankincense. You smell nice. Awesome. Sure, pass them around. I love you too, Diana. That really kind of struck my heart when I was thinking about it. You know, when I think about this year, and I don't know if you've thought about that, at the end of the year, if you evaluate, how much does God love me right now? And don't you kind of go to, well, how have things gone? How much, you know, when I complained, how did he do in answering me? And then the story, and I don't know if Max Lucado meant to, but, you know, it's a story about what gifts we give God. And we think, well, you know, I need to impress God, you know, otherwise he might not love me. But it's so easy to flip that around and say, but look at the gifts you've given that guy at work or this, you know, coworker or that friend. You know, and so we start looking at the gifts he's given to others and we start reducing how much we feel like God loves us. But he doesn't change any of that. And so it is the straw. I just love, you know, the straw of the manger. This is what proves the greatness of God's love to you and me. And it's not the cookies we get, though those are awesome too, and that just shows God's favor sometimes. So the cookies in life are certainly sweet reminders, but when life goes a little sour, how much he loves you never changes, period. And so the people in the story were attracted to Jesus because he, not in this story, but actually if you read the stories of Jesus, people were really attracted to Jesus. People that really felt like they had nothing, life had beat them up. You know why? I think because when, and you read these stories, when you look into the eyes of Jesus in the stories of the Bible, you see your Father's heaven's eyes. And he loves you. God's love has not changed. And the Bible tells us his love is steadfast, not conditional. It doesn't vary with the wind, and it doesn't rise or fall with the dow. He loves you, he loves you, he loves you. And so the people were attracted to him when they looked at him. And when they, in the Bible, not only do we see his holy perfection, but we see his compassion. And when we look at Jesus, you do not see his judgment because you're not perfect, but you see his forgiveness. And when you fail to perfectly love Jesus, you only see his steadfast love looking back at you. So I'm going to close with this verse, invite the worship team up. And And I just want to remind you of who you are this morning. In God's eyes, we never cease to be his children. We never become these adults that no longer receive his love. John, who we've been reading most of these verses from, John understood this. When he said, when he talked about himself, he described himself as the disciple Jesus loved. Not that Jesus didn't love the other disciples, but when he thought about his identity, it was the one that is loved by the divine. When he just told the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead, but while Lazarus was sick, do you remember what he said? The sisters said to Jesus when they sent word, the one you love is sick. And then their love meter got rattled when Jesus didn't come right away and their brother died. And they started, you know, I would like them begin to wonder, I wonder about this love. Did he really love them so much? But his love never diminished. And I want you to remember from the Bible stories too, what's most important is that your king is first a father to you. And he loves your presence. When two sisters, Mary and Martha, one got very worried and busy with things, and Mary just sat at Jesus' feet because she'd love to be near him. So let's not forget the thing your Father in heaven treasures most is just your presence. So 1 John, we read in chapter 2, verse 28, and now little children, and get this, the one the disciple Jesus loved is writing this to adults. He wasn't writing it to the kids on the stage. He was writing it to you and me. And he says, and now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, you don't come at us as a king with an army to subdue us and conquer us against our will, though you have the power to do so. You come at us with them and have fun. And we pray, Lord, that